Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, August 3rd, 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're right in the middle of the three groans. Groan, groan, groan. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, that eternal and absolute truth of your Word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 to 27. In this passage, we have illustrations, three illustrations of undeserved suffering for blessing. And they're described in three groans. First of all, the groan of nature, Romans 8, 19 to 22. Second, the groan of the spiritually mature believer, Romans 8, 23 to 25. And third, the groan of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 26 and 27. We have studied the first groan, the groan of nature, Romans 8, 19 to 22, and that sounds like this in corrected translation. For the confident expectation of creation, that's nature, waits eagerly. And I want you, that wait eagerly is a verb in every groan, the second groan, the third groan, they all use this verb, same verb, op ek dekomai. A-P-E-K-D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. Op ek dekomai. And it means to wait eagerly. For the confident expectation of creation, nature, opek dekomai, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, that was at the fall of man, Genesis 3, against its own will, an illustration of undeserved suffering. But because of the one, God the Father, who has subordinated it, nature, on the basis of the hope, and the word elpis, hope, the absolute confidence of the second advent, the revealing of the sons of God, and the millennial kingdom. Therefore, even the material universe, nature, will also be set free from corrupting slavery and brought safely into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we have learned Bible doctrine in the past, with the result that we know Bible doctrine now in the present, namely, that the entire realm of nature groans together with us in corrupting slavery and suffers the pains of childbirth with us until now. From the fall of man to the present, nature has shared in man's condemnation at the fall, and has shared undeservedly, an illustration of undeserved suffering. Nature will continue under the curse throughout the rest of the church age and throughout the tribulation period. And then at the second advent and the establishment of the millennial kingdom on earth, nature will be delivered from the curse. The groaning of nature looks back at the fall of man. The pains of childbirth look forward to the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once the mother gives birth to the child, the birth pains are over. So the birth here is related to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revealing of the sons of God, that's us coming back with Christ as his bride in our resurrection body, and the establishment of the millennial kingdom. So that's the first groan, the groan of creation, the groan of nature. Now that brings us to groan number two, the groaning of the spiritually mature believer. That's Romans 8, 23 to 25. And we always start out with the King James, and it sounds like this. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Very important phrase, first fruits of the Spirit. We have here the conjunction de with the neuter of the adjective monos, with the objective negative u, plus the conjunction Allah, along with the conjunction chi and the nominative plural of autos, plus the present active participle of echo, plus the accusative singular of aparche with the definite article, and the genitive singular of pneuma with the definite article. Now we start out with the transitional use of the conjunction de. Transitional. A lot of times it's a conjunction of contrast, but not here. This is the transitional use, and that may be translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. And then we have monos. Now monos is an adjective. M-O-N-O-S. Monos is an adjective. But when this adjective is in the neuter, it's no longer an adjective. Now it's an adverb. So that's what we have here. As an adjective, monos means only or alone. But we don't have it as an adjective. We have it in the neuter. When you have it in the neuter, it's monon. M-O-N-O-N. So this is in the neuter. And when it's in the neuter, then it becomes an adverb. And when you combine it with the objective negative u, it is correctly translated, not only this. Not only this. That's how it should be correctly translated. Not only this is grow number one. Not only this, looks back at verses 19 to 22 and grown number one. So, and not only this, that is the groaning of nature in verse 22. And not only this, Allah Kai, but also. So you see, here we have a neat construction. I know you're going to just love it, getting all this. You'll probably just jump out of your seat. We have U-manon, and then we have Allah Kai. U-manon, Allah Kai. Not only, but also. Not only, but also. Now, if you have prepared for the ministry and learned the original languages of the God-breathed scriptures, Hebrew, Aramaic, Koine Greek, when you see things like this, it gets you going. So, not only, but also. And then we have the intensive pronoun autos in the nominative plural, ourselves. And autos sets the spiritually mature believer off from everyone else in the human race. Autos looks at and puts the spotlight on the spiritually mature believer. And not only this, that is the groaning of nature in verse 22, but also we ourselves, the spiritually mature believer. And then we have the verb echo. And we've had this verb, for those of you who are consistent and faithful in assembling to learn the Word of God, you've seen this many times. It means to have and to hold, and therefore to possess. And then what do we have and hold and possess? Aparche. Aparche. Looks like that in the Greek. A-P-A-R-C-H. Long E, up RK. You all right? Tell Davey, everything fine? We're in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 23. Verse 23 says, and not only this, that is the groaning of nature, verse 22, but also we ourselves, spiritually mature believers, possessing the first fruits from the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The word aparche is first fruits. So, one, aparche. This is the word that means first fruits. First fruits. Not only this, the groaning of nature in verse 22, but also we, ourselves, the spiritually mature believers, possessing the first fruits from the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Two, Paul is putting the spotlight on the first fruits from the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The spotlight now is on the first fruits from the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Three, every church-age believer has the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Never occurred before in human history, just unique to this dispensation, the church age, the most unique dispensation in human history, from Pentecost to the rapture. Every person who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior in the church age has the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, which makes your body a temple. Your body is made a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of God the Father. So every church age believer has the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, which makes your body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. And, point four, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit is the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, the mandate, keep on being filled, empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And the teaching ministry of the Spirit, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are the mandates given to all of us as church age believers living in the church age. So, the indwelling of the Spirit is the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, 2 Peter 3:18. And this is how the church age believer attains spiritual maturity. That's why you're here. After salvation, what? God's plan didn't stop for us. At the moment we believed in Christ, it started. As soon as you believed in Christ, the gun went off. Boom, you're out of the blocks and running. And now the objective is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Advance from a spiritual baby to adolescence to spiritual maturity. And when you attain spiritual maturity, you glorify God to the maximum in time. And at that point, when you fulfill the ultimate objective of virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, now God is free to send down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings in time, which are the first fruits, which are the guarantee, which are the down payment of greater grace blessings for all eternity, that will be given to you at the judgment seat of Christ. This is really wahoo. See? So, the indwelling of the Spirit is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And this is how the church age believer attains spiritual maturity. Five, the first fruits from the Spirit are tantamount to the greater grace blessings poured out on the spiritually mature believer. When you attain spiritual maturity, that's when God is free to pour out on you the greater grace blessings on the spiritually mature believer. And we are studying these. There are nine categories in this greater grace blessing for the mature believer. We're studying this in our Thursday night class on 3 John. One of the greatest believers in the ancient world, probably most people don't even know about. Gaius. Gaius was one of the greatest believers in the ancient world. And the Apostle John loved Gaius. Very, very much. He loved Gaius as much as the Lord Jesus Christ loved the Apostle John. And he received these phenomenal greater grace blessings. And we're studying those. So we have point five. The first fruits from the Spirit are tantamount to the greater grace blessings poured out on the spiritually mature believer. Six. These greater grace blessings at spiritual maturity are first fruits. And that means they are a down payment. They are a guarantee that the spiritually mature believer will receive greater grace blessings and rewards for all eternity. They're given at the judgment seat of Christ. And they glorify God for all eternity. So these greater grace blessings, that spiritual maturity, they are aparche. They're the first fruits. They're a down payment. They're a guarantee that the spiritually mature believer are first fruits. A down payment, a guarantee that the mature believer will receive greater grace blessings and rewards in eternity. 7. They are called first fruits because they are merely the down payment. They are called first fruits because they are merely the down payment. They are the guarantee of what is to come in eternity. So they're called the first fruits because they're merely the down payment. They're the guarantee of what is to come in eternity. 7. They are called, I just gave you 7. 8. 8. The first fruit from the Spirit, greater grace blessings for the spiritually mature believer in time, are the best blessings in our short life here on earth. The first fruit from the Spirit, greater grace blessings for the spiritually mature believer in time, they are the best blessings in the short life that we are here on earth. And they are a guarantee of greater than the best blessings for all eternity. So the first fruits from the Spirit, greater grace blessings for the spiritually mature believer in time, are the best blessings in our very short life that we're here on earth. And they are a guarantee of greater than the best blessings in eternity. Nine. The spiritually mature believers, greater grace blessings in time, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in time. The spiritually mature believers, greater grace blessings in time, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in time. And they are parlayed into eternal rewards and blessings which will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And they are parlayed into eternal rewards and blessings which will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ forever. So, 10. The blessings of spiritual maturity are the first fruits of the blessings of eternity. The blessings of spiritual maturity are the first fruits of the blessings of eternity. So this is, say, this very, very powerful. So corrected translation so far, and not only this, that is the groaning of nature in verse 22, but also we ourselves, spiritually mature believers, possessing the first fruits from the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. That's the King James. What we have here is the conjunction chi plus the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the nominative plural of autos and the present active indicative of stenazo plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative plural of the reflexive pronoun heautu. The conjunction chi now, it's not just a simple connective chi. K-A-I. This is known as the ascensive use of chi. And you translate the ascensive use of chi even. Even. And then we have the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego, we, referring specifically to spiritually mature believers. And then the intensive pronoun autos, ourselves, is used here as an intensive pronoun. Even we ourselves, and then the verb stenazo. S-T-E-N-A-Z, long O, stenazo. Now, we've had a form of this in the first groan, and it was sustenazo, which means to groan with. Here we have the sus taken off, the preposition soon, but we still have stenazo, we still have the groan. So, once again, let's get a couple of points. Once again, stenazo means to sigh or to groan, and the prepositional phrase en heautou, within ourselves, to groan within ourselves. So stenazo means to groan with the prepositional phrase en heautou, within ourselves. Two, when the spiritually mature believer receives undeserved suffering for blessing, he groans. When the spiritually mature believer receives undeserved suffering for blessing, he groans. Now, undeserved suffering for blessing is only given to the spiritually mature believer. Now, there's a lot of suffering that believers are receiving, but it's not undeserved suffering for blessing. It's punitive suffering. It's divine discipline because they're out of fellowship with God, because they're living by the lust patterns of their sin nature, because they're living in Satan's cosmic system, because they're making bad decisions on bad decisions on bad decisions, and God has to spank them. That's suffering, but that's not undeserved suffering for blessing. That's punitive suffering, and that comes to every believer who is making bad decisions with God, living in Satan's cosmic system. But undeserved suffering for blessing is given only to the spiritually mature believer. And when you qualify for undeserved suffering for blessing, what an honor. What an honor. What a privilege. You're the best of the best. And you get to wear the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. And that's what we have here. So, point two, when the spiritually mature believer receives undeserved suffering for blessing, he groans. He groans. Three, the groan is the reality of undeserved suffering graciously given to the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer. The groan is the reality of the undeserved suffering for blessing. It is a great, great blessing. Undeserved suffering for blessing that God gives to the spiritually mature believer. Four, for suffering to be suffering, it must hurt. That's a deep point. For suffering to be suffering, it must hurt. And therefore, the groan. And we have illustrations of undeserved suffering for blessing given to the best of the best, winner believers, spiritually mature believers. And it hurts. The Apostle Paul received undeserved suffering for blessing. And it hurts so much, he prayed to the Father three times, take it away, take it away. This hurts. And God said, no, I'm not going to take it away. Take it away. No, I'm not going to take it away. Take it away. It hurts. No, I'm not going to take it away. That was undeserved suffering for blessing. In fact, point five, this groan is perfectly described with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. There was given me a thorn in my flesh. A thorn in your flesh hurts. Thorn in my flesh. A messenger of Satan. A demon assigned to Paul to just beat the crap out of Paul. A messenger of Satan. To torment me. Torment means it hurts. Undeserved suffering for blessing. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he, the Lord, assured me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul got it. Okay, now I got it. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. That's when people malign you and slander you and judge you, that's people testing. I delight in insults, in people testing when they slander, malign, judge me. I delight in hardships. The word literally means pressures, thought testing. I delight in persecutions. That's disaster testing. I delight in difficulties. That's system testing. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So here is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is not only a spiritually mature believer, he may be the greatest believer ever. And he's under intense, undeserved suffering for blessing. And it hurts. So we have, and not only this, the groaning of nature, verse 22, but also we ourselves, spiritually mature believers, possessing the first fruits from the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And then we have waiting. Waiting for the adoption. And this is the present middle participle of op ek dekomai plus the accusative singular of huio theisia. Now I gave you this at the beginning of the class. Op ek dekomai. APEKD ECHOMAI. Op ek dekomai. This is the same verb we had in verse 19 for the confident expectation of creation and nature. Op ek dekomai. Waits eagerly. waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. And then in verse 23, our verse, possessing the first fruits from the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, op ek dekomai, waiting eagerly for our adoption. But now he's going to define exactly what he means here by adoption. For our waiting eagerly for our adoption, that is, namely, the redemption of our body. That's totally different than the redemption of our soul. Redemption of our soul takes place at salvation, faith in Christ. The redemption of our body takes place at the rapture, where we receive our resurrection body. So he defines exactly what he means here in adoption. For our adoption, namely, that is the redemption of our body at the rapture. We receive our resurrection body. And then in verse 25, then by means of perseverance in times of undeserved suffering for blessing, we op ek dekomai, we wait eagerly for it. Three times in this passage on groaning. So op ek dekomai is used three times by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, 19, Romans 8, 23, which is our verse right now, and coming up in Romans 8, 25. Op ek dekomai is not in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. So a couple of things on this. One, op ek dekomai means to wait eagerly, to wait eagerly, to wait eagerly for someone, to wait eagerly for something, to stand in eager anticipation. So it means to wait eagerly for someone or for something, to stand in eager anticipation. This is the mental attitude of the spiritually mature believer. Now, the carnal reversionistic believer, the believer making bad decisions, the believer with wrong priorities, details of life are far more important than God or the Word of God. They don't wait eagerly for this at all. This is the mental attitude of the spiritually mature believer. He waits eagerly for the redemption of his body, and that is the rapture. Looking forward to the rapture, because the rapture is followed by the judgment seat of Christ. The crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings for all eternity, are given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ forever and ever and ever. So, wait eagerly. Two, this is the confident expectation of the spiritually mature believer. It's not the confident expectation of the baby believer or the adolescent believer, but it is the confident expectation of the spiritually mature believer. Three, the spiritually mature believer is waiting in eager anticipation for his greater grace blessings in eternity. The spiritually mature believer is waiting in eager anticipation for his greater grace blessings in eternity. Four, the undeserved suffering that God graciously gives to the spiritually mature believer in time, the undeserved suffering that God graciously gives to the spiritually mature believer in time is God's guarantee of your phenomenal greater grace blessings for eternity. The undeserved suffering for blessing that God graciously gives to the spiritually mature believer in time is God's guarantee of your phenomenal greater grace blessings for eternity. 5. So the spiritually mature believer is apekdekomaing. I hope that's what you're doing out here. Apekdekomaing. Waiting eagerly for his huiothesia, adoption as adult sons. The spiritually mature believer is apoekdekomai. He's waiting eagerly for his huiothesia, adoption as adult sons. 6. This is the spiritually mature believer waiting eagerly for his ultimate sanctification. This is the spiritually mature believer waiting eagerly for his ultimate sanctification. Seven, he is waiting eagerly for his resurrection body and the greater grace blessings that will be awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ. Great crowns and rewards. He is waiting eagerly for his resurrection body and the greater grace blessings awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ. Great crowns and rewards. The present tense is the customary present, and the customary present makes a statement of general timeless fact. This apekdekomai is the mental attitude, of the spiritually mature believer. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The spiritually mature believer performs the action of waiting in eager anticipation for his adoption, anticipating greater grace blessing for eternity. And the indicative mood is declarative. This is a fact, reality for the spiritually mature believer. And he's eagerly waiting for huiothesia. 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 And huiothesia means adoption. It means adoption. In our verse, Romans 8:23, it is referring specifically to the spiritually mature believer in ultimate sanctification. Referring specifically to the spiritually mature believer in ultimate sanctification. That is, it refers to the mature believer waiting eagerly for his resurrection body, which is the home or the target for the imputation of his greater grace blessings awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. So we have, and not only this, the groaning of nature in verse 22, but also we ourselves, spiritually mature believers, possessing the first fruits from the Spirit, down payment, guarantee, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption. Now, this isn't the end of the verse. Now, the Apostle Paul gives us an appositional phrase telling us what this adoption is referring to in our verse. That in the redemption of our body, The redemption of our body must be distinguished from the redemption of our souls. The redemption of our soul occurs at salvation. It occurs at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. But the redemption of our body occurs at the resurrection, the rapture of the church. And that's when the church age believer receives his resurrection body. Just as nature groans in anticipation of its pristine glory at the second advent of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the millennial kingdom, so the spiritually mature believer groans in anticipation of his resurrection body and receiving crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ that he will have and enjoy, which glorifies God for all eternity. Well, that appositional phrase is very key to this. But we're going to start with the appositional phrase next week, next Sunday. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have the Lord's table. All right?